Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem, welcome back to today's Daf Yomi, which is Shkolim and Daf Talit. We're right on top of the Amid and actually in the middle of a Mishnah. It says the Mishnah, Ve'elu shachayoven ba'kolboin. Kolboin is a joint word. Kal, light, a light, and small addition. Kolboin, a small fee, which you had to add to your machzis ha-shekel. According to some shittos, we're going to discuss it later in the Gemara, it was like a transaction fee, a service fee, which was assessed on top of the machzis ha-shekel. So the following individuals need to add a kolbein, this added tax, this added fee, to their machzis ha-shekel. Ve'lo she'chayavim ba-kolbein, levi'im, v'yisra'elim, v'gerim, v'avadim shechrarim, those freed slaves, because all these are chayav in machzis ha-shekel, and therefore they have to add the kolban as well. Avaloi kohanim, v'noshim, v'avodim, uktanim. But not kohanim, although we follow the shita that kohanim are chayiv machzis ha-shekel, but we give them extra kavod, and we don't actually take that extra fee, not that aggressive with them, just as we don't take the mashkin, we don't obligate them in this kolban. Noshim, avodim, uktanim are completely potter. If they want, they can give, but they're not chayv at all. That's why we don't add this service fee, so that it wouldn't seem like they're actually chayv to give it. So we give them the discount. All they do is a machzis ha-shekel if they choose to give it, but no kolbein is added. Continues the mission, ha-shekel al yidei koyin, al yidei ha-ish, al yidei means on behalf of. So he's speaking that he lent them money, he laid out their machzis ha-shekel, Hashoyke al yidei katan, al yidei koyin, on behalf of a koyin, al yidei ha'isha, al yidei eved, al yidei katan, potter. Why? Because since he's doing it for them, and they're potter from kolbein, so there's no chiv to add the kolbein to their machzis ha-shekel. V'im shokal al yodoi, v'al yidei chaveri, chayev. But if he chooses to bring its machzis ha-shekel on behalf of himself and his friend, he didn't actually give it to him as a matana. He loaned him the money. So it was for himself and his friend. And he did it in one shot. He took a full shekel. So half was for himself and half for his friend. Chayov b'kolbein echad. He must add one service fee to the machzis shekel. We look at it like it's a one package deal. He gets a discount. You don't have to do a kolbein per machzis shekel. Since he did it all at once, a full shekel for himself and his friend, only one kolban is added. Reb Mei Omer Beis Kulbanis, you have to add two kulbanis, as the Gemara later will explain the reason for this. Hanoi is saying, Sela v'noitel shekel. Now before we proceed, let's keep in mind that the coins were called differently in the times of the Chazal, in the times of the Gemara. So when we speak about a Sela, it's actually two shekels. We speak about a shekel. That's actually a shekel in a commonly used term. But in the time of the Torah, meaning the shekel shel Torah, of which we give half a shekel, machzis ha-shekel, that had double the value of the shekel which was commonly used and referred to in the time of the Gemara. So again, a shekel of Torah was really worth two shekelim, which were commonly used in those days. And that's really what we call a sela. A sela has two commonly used shkolim, and a half a shekel, machzis shekel, which we are chayv to give min ha-Torah, a half a shekel shel Torah, is equal in value to a shekel, which was used during those days. So in any case, nowadays, in the time of the Mishnah and the Gemara, if you want to be yotzer your mitzvah, machzis shekel, how much do you give? A shekel. Which is really only worth a half a shekel shel Torah. So this fellow gave a sela, which is two local shkolim, and he needs change. He wants to get back a shekel. So he gave two shkolim. He needs to get back a shekel and change, which in effect leaves him having given one shekel, but a local shekel, which is really only worth a half a shekel shel Torah. Hanois in sela. If one gives a sela, v'noitel shekel, and receives a shekel in return, chayiv shnei kulbanis. He needs to add two service fees to this transaction. The Gemara will go into the reason for this. Hashoikel al yad oni. Suppose he doesn't lend the money, but he gifts it. He does matzah shekel for the sake of a poor man, val yad shcheinoi for the sake of his neighbor, to increase neighborly love, val yad ben iroi, or just for the sake of his landsman, somebody in the city. In any case, he was doing it out of the goodness of his heart, a matana potter. He gets a discount. No kavan is added in this case. But if he merely loaned them the money, we treat it like an ordinary machzor shekel, and a kavan is added. Ha'achna shutfin. Suppose brothers inherited the father's nechasim, his animals, his money, and they divided the estate and then joined back together in a partnership. Ha'achen ha'shutfen she'chayavin b'kobayin, which in that case are chayavin kobayin because it's their personal money. So even though they're taking from this partnership, this joint fund, but they're giving their own machzor shekel, they're chayavin kobayin. Patur m'masa behema, but in that case, if they have some new animals born, there's no masa behema separated. The tenth of each animal, one of ten animals is separated from masa behema. But that doesn't apply to animals which are owned by shutfin. So in this case, since they divided the assets, and then they joined together a new partnership, they're pata from masa behema, which doesn't apply to a shutfus. But if they use that money for their kolbein, it's personal funds, they're chayvin kolbein. So if they use it for machza shekel, they're chayvin kolbein. Ukeshechayovim masa behema. But in a case where they haven't yet divided the estate, father passed away, left some property, left some animals, some money, and it's still undivided. It's considered tfusas habayis. It's still attributed to the father, even though he's no longer here. It's still considered his estate. So in that case, there's no partnership here. It's not like they divided and then joined back together. In that case, if new animals are born, every tenth is considered masa behema. Now, in this case, where they're chayav masa behema, because it's still considered their father's estate, p'tur mina kolben. If they should use that money for their machzor shekel, they're exempt from kolben. Why? It's as though their father donated machzor shekel on their behalf. And we know that if you gift machzor shekel to somebody else, you're pata from kolben. Okay, so we speak about kolben. How much is this added fee? V'kamuhu kolben ma'a kesef. It's this coin called ma'a kesef, the Reb Meir, which was actually a 24th of a sella. So if we're giving a half a sella for machzor shekel, so it's actually an added 12th. You add a 12th. V'chacham ayim chatzi ma'a, a half a ma'a, so you add a 24th. Ahu bisha amr v'chu. Mishnah spoke about the noshim, avodim, and ketanim. Although they're not chayiv and they're not going to have a mashkin taken from them, but if they should choose to donate, we accept the machzor shekel from them. We don't accept from the goy or the kuti, but from the ketanim we do. Halut baya ain't toivin. Apparently, we don't demand, we don't collect it from them. Ut baya ain't toivin. Mishnah clearly says if they choose to donate out of the goodness of their heart, we accept it, but we don't demand it. Hochat amar toivin. Now, in the previous Mishnah, we said that ketanim, well, we don't take a mashkin from them to ensure their compliance, but it seems like we are toiveya. We obligate them to do it. Vochat amar ain't toivin. Here, in this Mishnah, more recent Mishnah, we speak about voluntary donation. We're not toiveya. So which one is it? Do we collect from the ketanim or don't we? Says, well, it depends what age. And the early Mishnah was speaking that they already grew their pubic hairs, they already gedolim. So the chayv medrabbanan. We don't take a mashkin from them because minatari only chayv when they're 20, but we are teveya, the machzor shekel from them. Vekan, however, in the most recent Mishnah, we're speaking about ketanim who are really young. Mishalei hevi beisaris, they're still before adulthood. In this case, there's no chayv even medrabbanan. So if they volunteer to donate, that's okay, but we don't ask it from them. Hanochiv akuti, a goy and a kuti, don't have the privilege, they don't have the opportunity to contribute. Even if they decide to donate, we don't accept it. Amrabba tipata, we must interpret this Mishnah, which lumps together the kuti with the nachri, kemad the amr, and according to the shita, that kuti ke nachri. Maybe you have a Shiloh, a kuti clan, they underwent some sort of gerus, and conversion was questionable, and some shitas consider them Yisraelim, and some consider them to be goyim. Apparently this Mishnah, which bundles together kuti with goy, holds that they have a din of a goy. This palgam, we actually have a machloikis, kuti kenachri, the Rebbe. Rebbe holds a kuti has the same status as a goy. He's regarded completely like a Yisrael. Our Mishnah apparently is following the Shitas Rebbe, which regards a kuti like a goy. Amar Belezer, no, masnisa benachram. Let's delete kuti from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah is simply speaking about a goy, not a kuti. But from a kuti, perhaps we can accept a machzah shekel. He has a din like a Yisrael. Says the Gemara, ha, bekutim loy. Yeah, this halacha does not apply to kutim, only by a goy. A kuti is considered like Yisrael. V'tini, Cain, we actually learned likewise in the Braisa. Adam, the pasuk in the beginning of Vayikra speaks about an Adam kiyakriv mikan korban, a person who will be makriv a korban. The word Adam is coming l'rabbis sagerim, they can bring a korban. Mikem, from you, only some of you can give and others not. Lohitzi is a mumr, habitual transgressor, a mumr. He cannot bring a korban. But a kuti, he's not a mumr, he's eligible to bring karbanes and to bring his machzah shekel. Says the Gemara, masnisen pligi al Rabbi Elazar. Our very Mishnah seems to be in disagreement with Rabbi Elazar, who maintains that a kuti has the din of Yisrael. Therefore, delete kuti from the Mishnah. Only a nachri is discussed here. Only a nachri cannot send a machzah shekel. Because if we take a close look at our Mishnah, we see otherwise. The Mishnah continues, ein mekablin miyadam, we don't accept from them. The various tumor-related karbanis, birds that a zav would bring, or a zava, kineyolas that a yoledes would bring. Now, if we're speaking about a goy, a nachri can't relate to tumor betara. That's specific to a Yisrael who has kedusha. So, corresponding to the kedusha, he has a potential for tumor. But a goy has no tumor. Apparently, says the Gemara, we're speaking not about nachrim. Rather, the chiddush is that a kuti cannot send these karbanis. You would think a kuti is like a Yisrael. No, a kuti has been like a goy and cannot send any karbanis. This is a raya, not like Rabbi Elazar. He can't send karbanis, he can't send machzah shekel. Says him, okay, but we still have a problem. El reisha v'nachrim v'sefer v'kutim, but according to this, the first part of the Mishnah tells us that a goy, who is the primary focus here, a goy, and on account of goy, we also mention a kuti, which is a different variety of a goy, they can't send machzah shekel. That's the reisha. Focusing primarily on a goy. And then the sefer, discussing karbanis, a goy is not in the parsha, he's not in the context at all. So we move away from goy, we focus on kutim, which weren't really the primary focus of the topic of this Mishnah. It seems a bit strange that we'd move away from nachrim and discuss just kutim. So the more, apparently that must be pshat in the Mishnah. Keinu, reisha b'nachrim. In the reisha we discuss primarily goyim. And on account of the goyim, we speak about a kuti as well. They both can't send the machzah shekel. The sefer b'kutim. But in the sefer we move on to kutim, who become the primary focus, the topic of conversation. And the chiddush is, and even they cannot send in karbanis because they're regarded like goyim. Omar Rabbi Yechna. Let's proceed with the topic of contributing to the Beis HaMikdash, to the building fund, to the maintenance of the Beis HaMikdash. When do we allow goyim to participate, and when do we disallow their participation? We have machlokes between Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. Omer Rabbi Yochanan, betchila ein mekabel mehen. Initially, meaning for the building fund, we're actually erecting the Beis HaMikdash, when a mekabel, we don't accept donations from goyim, whether we're speaking about a davar mesuyim, a specific item, something which will be visible and be identified with the owner, with the goy, with the donor, a chandelier. We don't accept that. We don't want them to boast and point to it and say, well, this is the goy's. It's unbefitting for the Beis Hamikdash. Nor do we accept even something which is unspecified and unidentified. Even funds or Kaber Eda says salt, water, things which will be consumed. We don't accept from the Goyim. And the reason is because perhaps there's a scheme here. They're trying to fund the Beis HaMikdash building, and then they'll, once we rely on their funding, they'll suddenly abruptly stop the funding and disrupt the avodah of the Beis HaMikdash and the building. So you don't accept anything initially. However, at the end, meaning once the Beis HaMikdash is standing, it's just a question of maintenance, we'll accept something which is unspecified, something which will just be consumed and will not stand out, will not be identified with the donor. For instance, money, for instance, supplies which get used up, that we accept. But not something mesuim, something which is mesuim, is specific and remains intact. That's not roi, it's not chashivah, it's a gnai to the Beis HaMikdash to have that contributed by a goy. So according to Rabbi Yochanan, we don't accept anything except for maintenance. And if it's something which is any mesuim, which is not it's something that stands out. Rav Shimon Lokesh Amar, he says, we never accept anything. Bein betchil b'mesuif, whether initially, or whether at the end, or just for maintenance purposes, ein mekabel mehen lo yidover mesuim, we don't accept even not a dover mesuim, v'lo yidover shein mesuim, and even something which is not mesuim, apparently according to Rav Shimon Lokesh, even maintenance is considered like contributing to the building of Beis HaMikdash. You know, you don't maintain the property, just gets dilapidated and falls apart. So maintenance is tantamount to having a part in the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, we refuse any contributions. Masnisin pliga al Rabbi Yochanan. We have a Mishnah, a Braisa, which seems to be inconsistent to Rabbi Yochanan. Ein. Some delete the first ein. Ein makabel mehen hegdish unadava lebedek habayis. We don't accept from the goyim anything. Hegdish unadava, even for bedek habayis, for maintenance purposes. We do accept for maintenance if it's not mesuyim and visible. Pasala, he will interpret this price. So, maybe tchil b'mesayif. Yeah, it could be applied to initially or even later during the maintenance. Ubavad davar mesuyim. This price is speaking about a davar mesuim, a chandelier, a fixture, something which is visibly donated by the goy. Even Rabbi Yochanan agrees that's not allowed. Let's skip the parentheses. Shimon Lakish Amar, bein betchilu b'mesuif, whether initially or later on, a makabel mehen lo yidover mesuim, we don't accept anything from the goy. Mas nisen pligi av Shimon Lakish. Mishnah, which seems to contradict Shimon Lakish, the Tani. The Mishnah says, hakol shav, and all agree. This is machlekes between our mayor and Yehuda there regarding erechim. So there are two ways to assess a person. Is erech a standard formula provided by the Torah? You could commit to donate erech of a person to the Beis HaMikdash. And there's something called a neder and a dava, where we speak about market value. You're committing to give the value of a person, how much you can sell him for as a slave, and that you give to the Beis HaMikdash. So when it comes to a goy, Ramey holds he cannot commit himself to erchin. Rabbi Yehuda says he can, but hakol shav and all agree shein neider. Goyin can be neider; they can promise, they can pledge v'nidur, and one can pledge on them. Meaning, a person could promise, pledge to give the value of the goy to the Beis HaMikdash. In any case, we see that the goy can be neider; can donate. Donate to the Beis HaMikdash, to the maintenance fund. There's a kasha on Shimon Lakish, who says, we don't accept anything from the goy. Pasal oila. He interprets the Mishnah in reference to an oila, a carbon oila he can give. He can contribute to the building fund. But we learn from Pasuk ish, ish, gid, a nether. The extra ish is coming to add a goy. He has the ability to be a nether, a carbon oila. Nicha, noidrin, oila. That explains noidrin. Noidrin could be an oila. He promised an oila. Nidaren, I love it. The Mishnah says Nidaren. They are the subject of a neder, which would seem to indicate, if we're speaking about Oila, that somebody else committed them to bring an Oila. Why would the guy comply? Somebody else came over and obligated him to bring an oilo. Would he go ahead and bring an oilo? Nidoran can mean oilo? No, that doesn't make sense. Says the Gemara, actually we're speaking about oilo. We're not speaking about sending money, which is not accepted according to Rosh Hashanah Malakish. We're speaking about sending an oilo. Nidoran, he promised, he initiated the promise, the pledge, to bring an oilo. Nidoran is just another type, another variety of his commitment. Ella rather was speaking Kishama Yisrael. Harei Olai Oila. The Nachri overheard the Yisrael saying, I'm going to bring an Oila. Vishama Nachri, Nachri overheard that. V'amar, and he said, you know what? That's a good idea. Ma Shomar Ze Olai. This commitment, I'm going to apply to myself as well. So he copycatted the Yisrael. So in reality, he was Nidor Oila, which is accepted from a guy. The reason why he called it Nidor is because he was simply seeking to emulate the Yid. Just another form of him committing to bring an oil. But of course, when it comes to sending in money, that's not accepted according to Rosh Lakish. Says him, well, fine. So you committed to an oil. But isn't he going to add nesachim, the flour, the wine, the oil, which is necessary, a necessary component of the oil? Many times there's some leftover, extra flour, and there was a standard procedure in the Beis Hamikdash where they would direct the extra nesachim. They would convert it to be used for kli sharis, to buy pots and pans for the Beis HaMikdash. If that's the case, then it turns out that the guy ended up contributing to the kli sharis. Going to Rish Lakish doesn't work. He can't. He's not allowed to contribute. Says more nimtza, maybe davar mesuyim. But this is a kashin of Rabbi Yochanan. Rabbi Yochanan agrees you can't bring a davar mesuyim like a kli sharis. And here, the end result is that a kli sharis who procured from the funds of the guy, from the leftover nesachim. And that's a kasha on all shittas. Says the Gemara, let's answer the kasha with another kasha. Hasif, Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Bun, he asked the kasha. And this will serve to answer the first kasha. Vatanina, but haven't we learned in that same Mishnah? Nerochen v'orchen. Right? The Mishnah that we just mentioned about Noidun and Dorn begins by discussing Nerochen v'orchen. Now, Orchen again means that the guy would say, I'm going to give the value of that fellow to the Beis HaMikdash. Standard formula which was established by the Torah to determine the value of a person. That's a clear Mishnah. Not speaking about Korbanis. Speaking about sending in money to the Beis HaMikdash. Loi le Beda Kabayis inun? Isn't it directed to the Beda Kabayis? And that's certainly a kasha. Because you're using it for the building fund. So it's a kasha. For sure, kasha mishlokish. So on the kasha of Noider, we answered, well, we're speaking about an oila, which is okay. A carbon he could send. But here we have Orchen, which is money to Bedek Havayis. V'orchen loy le Bedek Havayis. Inun? Doesn't it go to the Bedek Havayis? Says the Gemara, apparently you must answer as follows. Haich ma'adat omar taman. Just like you say over there. The reason why you can accept it for the Bedek Habayis from the Goy, because that's not what he had in mind. He intended on bringing something for the Mizbeach, L'Shamayim, a carbon. That's where he really wanted his money to be directed. And on its own, by default, where does it go? It gets funneled into the Bedek Habayis fund. But it wasn't a direct donation to Bedek Habayis from the Goy. He thought it's going to go to the Mizbeach. Therefore, it's okay. Kain at Amar Afhoch. Likewise, we're going to say over here, when the Mishnah speaks about Neider, forget about Karban. It's not Karban. We're speaking that he's promising to give the value of a person, and he's sending it to the Beis Hamikdash. L'Shamayim v'Skavim, but his intent is to give it to L'Shamayim to the Mizbeach. U'Meilein heim bo'in Bedek Habayis. And on its own, it's going to get funneled into the Bedek Habayis. Therefore, it's not considered a davar mesuyim, it's not considered a direct donation to the building fund, and it's okay according to all shittas, Rabbi Yochanan and Rish Lakish. The problem is when he's donating directly for maintenance, for davar mesuyim, for the building fund, but if he's donating for the mizbeach, and the fact is, the rules in the Beis HaMikdash say, well, we have a system how things work. We take those funds and we don't use it for a carbon. We use it for the Kabbai's purposes. That's where Erchem goes. That's where Nadarim go. So since it's not a direct donation from the goy to the kabbais, it's no longer identified with the goy. It's not attributed to him, and it's not considered as though he participated in the actual building of the Beis HaMikdash or the maintenance. Now we're going to look for a source for Shimon Lakish. He says that a goy cannot contribute regardless. Building, maintenance, he's out of the picture. Ma'avad of Shimon Lakish. Where did he get the halacha from? Patala. He interpreted from the following pasuk, Loy lochem velanu. Live in his base, lelkenu. It's not for you and us to jointly build Hashem's home. You're not meant to have a chelik in the building. Rab Chizki Omer Rab Simon Shaw, Rab Chizki Omer Rab Simon suggested as follows, Me'ata, based on this, Ein mekabel men lamas hamayim. We can't even accept from the goyim funds to construct or to maintain the amas hamayim, the stream running through the city, even from municipal needs, they can't contribute for civil purposes. Even that, why? As we're going to see, a pasuk, lamas hamayim l'choy mo'si'ir, to shore up the walls of the city, towers. Why? Al shame, because we have a pasuk. V'lochem, lochem en chelik. There's a pasuk in Nehemiah. You don't not meant to have a chelik. With stock of zikaron being Yerushalayim. So not only can't they contribute to the Beis HaMikdash, but they cannot even contribute it to the building and maintaining of Yerushalayim. So conclusion. Let's just stop for a moment. We discussed the concept of the kalboin, we discussed the ketanim. Up until bar mitzvah, they're pata completely. From a mitzvah until 20, they're chayim and rabbanim, but not manatura. We learned about a nachri, who cannot contribute to machzor shekel. A kuti, that's questionable, depends whether he's considered like a goy or a yid. We learned about a nachri contributing to the Beis HaMikdash. According to Shimon Lakish, never. He's not allowed to participate at all. As we learned from a pasuk, according to Rabbi Yechanan, generally not, but for maintenance purposes, he can contribute as long as it's not a davar mesuyim. He's just contributing funds or some type of something which will be consumed, paper towels, water, salt, which will not be visibly identified with the goy donor. Continues the Gemara. Let's go back to the concept of kalbein. Let's skip over the parentheses to the words masnisa. Masnisa, our Mishnah, which tells us that all machzas hashekel givers will have to add that service fee, the kolbein, even if he brought exact change. He happened to have exactly a machzas hashekel and gave it. And there was no tircha, there was no change received, there was not much going on, there's not much servicing. He will have to give a kolbein. Masnisa, our Mishnah, the Reb Meir. Apparently, he's following Shita's Reb Meir, who says that the Koban is not only because of a service fee. Rather, there's another purpose as well. Masnisa, the Reb Meir, the Omer Reb Meir, Kishem Sheshik L'Tor, just as the actual Machsa Shekel is mandated in the Torah, Kach Koban L'Tor, likewise the Koban, that additional fee assessed to the Machsa Shekel is mandated min HaTor. Why? Because Sabar Reb Meir, B'noisin Shikli Shalom, Reb Meir holds, even if he gives a complete shekel, so we're speaking about nowadays shekel, in times of the Gemara, which is really a half a shekel Shal Torah, which is exact change. So he's not looking for any transactions, any services to be done for him. He's giving exact change. Even in that case, Shu Chayv B'Kalboin, he has to add the Kalboin. Why? Dabar Reb Meir, Kimin Matbea Shal Eish, Hashem pulled out from under the Kisei HaKavod something which appeared like a fiery coin. And he displayed it to Moshe. And he told him, Zayitnu. This is what Klai Yisrael should give for Machzor Shekel. Ka Zayitnu. Exactly like this. Now the concern is that perhaps our Shkolim today might be a bit rubbed off. Might have some impurities in them. In which case they don't have the same value as that Machzor Shekel, which was displayed by Hashem to Moshe. And therefore, to cover that loss of value, we add a kolbein, a VAT, value-added tax. We add another service fee, not a service fee, an added coin to account for the loss, for the impurity, to account for the missing value. So we have machlokes between Rav Meir and Tanakam regarding the reason, the time of the Korban. According to Tanakama, as we're going to see soon, the reason is related to the transaction. It's a service fee. You're coming and you're asking for change, etc. You have to add some type of service fee, perhaps to be used to pay for their salaries, the money changers and the bankers. And the Rambam says they have to incur expenses. They take these small coins, Masa Shekel, and they have to transfer it, convert it to larger coins. So all that involves hitzoyes and expenses, and therefore you have to go ahead and pay for that service. In that case, if you brought exact change, you're going to Tanakama, you're potter. There's no service fee required. Whereas according to Rav Meir, any time you bring a Masa Shekel, even if it's exact change, we're concerned about loss of value. There's some impurity here. You have to account for that and add a korban. Continues the Gemara. No son sella little shekel. The Mishnah spoke about a case where he came to the money changer with a sella, which is really a full shekel, and he wants change. Little shekel, to take a shekel. So a sella has two nowadays shkolim. So now he's owed change, one shekel, right? Chayiv shnei kulbonos. So he has to add shnei kulbonos. Why a double fee? What's going on here? Why would he have to give two kulbonos? Amar b'lezer de Rav Meir. It's fellowship is Rav Meir. De Rav Meir Amar, echad shekel shu noisen. You have to add one transaction fee on account of the shekel that he's giving. Because Rav Meir holds you always have to add something. We're concerned about impurities. Ve'echad shekel shu noitel. You have to add another transaction fee because you're accepting change. It's a service fee that has to be added. So in total, you have two kulbonos added to the machzor shekel, the sanya. Elu chayavim b'kulbon. We're going to prove this from our Mishnah. The Rav Meir holds, in addition to the service fee, there is the impurity supplement. So the Mishnah speaks about the list of individuals who are chayav b'kulbon for chulu. And the Mishnah gives us a case where he is bringing a machzor shekel for himself and his friend. How many kolbonos does he have to add? Tanakama says kolbon echad, one kolbon. Why? Because it was really only one transaction here. Right? He brought one seller and gave it to the gizbar, gave it to the shulchani on behalf of himself and his friend. We treat it like one transaction, and only one kolbon is added. Rabbi says two kolbonos are assessed, are added. Apparently, Hermann holds the point of the kolbon is to account for the impurities. Therefore, as the Takan Chatan explains, in this case, Hermann holds there's no service fee because since he gave a full sell on account of himself and his friend, and he didn't ask for change in the return, it's not considered like a transaction. It's like a lump sum payment, a wholesale deal. It's not considered like he asked for change because he gave a shekel and gave a sell and left it there. Tanakama holds it's considered like an ordinary transaction, even though he didn't ask for any change in return. We don't differentiate between this case and other cases. Perhaps the point is to avoid, you know, everybody can do the same. They'll just stand there until somebody else shows up. They'll give a seller together and they'll avoid the kolbon. Not Chachamim established, according to Tanakama, Chachamim established that in all cases, when you give something which is not exact change, you have to add a kulbon. Rav Meir disagrees. He says, in this case, there was no transaction, there was no change given in return. Everything went straight to the shulchani, the entire seller for his friend and himself. So he disagrees with the service fee added. There's no service fee, but there's still two kulbonis. Why? The answer is, because the kulbon is not only a service fee, there's another purpose to it, to account for impurities. Anytime you give a machzor shekel, you add a kulbon. So when this fellow gives a sella for himself and his friend, each one has to add a kulbon for his machzor shekel to make up for the impurities. So you see clearly, the Rav Meir subscribes that additional tam of kulbon to account for impurities. So at this point in the Gemara, we have three cases, three machloikes between Rav Meir and Tanakama. In case number one, exact change, He's contributing exactly machzor shekel with no need to trouble the banker. Exact change, according to Tanakamas, potter from a kolbein, there's no transaction fee, no service fee added. According to Rabbi Meir, the point of kolbein is also related to impurities, and a kolbein has to be added regardless. So again, exact change, according to Tanakamas, potter from kolbein, according to Rabbi Meir, is chayv. Case number two, he's contributing a full shekel for himself and his friend. According to Tanakama, there's one kolbein. It's one transaction fee. According to Rav Meir, in this case, actually no transaction fee added. There's no change received, but there's two kolbeinis. Why? For himself and his friend. Have to add some value to account for the impurities. So again, in the case where he's shekel for himself and his friend, according to Tanakama, there's one kolbein. Account the transaction. According to Rav Meir, skip the transaction fee. There's a kolbein for each machzor shekel to account for impurities. And finally, the third case. He approaches the banker with a full shekel and asks for half in return, for change. According to Tanakama, the transaction fee, one kolbein is added. According to Rav Meir, in this case, two kolbeinis are added. One, on account of the transaction fee, and number two, on account of the impurities. Umar Rav held divrei hakoyli. He generally follows Rav Lezer's approach, but he disagrees on one account. This halacha, that when you give a sela and get a shekel in return, according to Rav, when the Mishnah says you're a chayv two kolbeinis, even a Tanakama would agree there are two kolbeinis. And actually, according to Rav, there are three kolbeinis. Why? Because Rav holds an interesting point. He says, when you give a sell on, ask for a shekel in return, the Chachamim treated it like two separate transactions. Might be a bit hard to understand. The Tan Chadin explains it at length, and the Shulchan Aruch Asit says, it was a special chumrah the Chachamim added, Chachamim implemented here. They wanted to treat each thing separately. They wanted to make things clear cut. Whatever appears like a transaction has its own kolbein. So when he gave his sell on and took a shekel in return as change, you did two things. Firstly, you gave him a shekel without exact change. That's one service fee. And number two, you got something in return. You broke up your salad, you got change in return, you got another benefit from it. So there are two separate service fees assessed here, and all agree there are two kolbeinis at a minimum. Or may add a third one on account of the impurity. Standard kolbein for concern about impurity. So Rav maintains that when our mission says, when you give a sela and ask for a shekel in return, there are two kolbeinis, that's agreed upon by you all. There's a minimum of two kolbeinis, there are two transaction fees applied. Rav Meir will hold actually a third one, on account of the impurity. Umar Rav, divrei hakoyli, all agree to this halacha. Domer Rav Meir, echad shekel shu noisin, ve'echad shekel shu noitel. You have to add one kolbein on account of the shekel that you're giving to the Beis HaMikdash, which was not exact change, and they had to break it down for you. That's one service fee. Ve'echad shekel shu noitel, another service fee on account of the change that you're receiving in the return. And a third one, ve'echad l'divrei Torah. One, to account for the din Torah, which obligates adding a bit to make up for lost value. Al daiti de Rav, gimel kolbeinis inon. According to Rav, there are three kolbeinis. Also, Rabbi Yirmiyah came, and Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yitzchak, and they said, "B'shem Rav, indeed, that there are a total of three kolbeinis according to Rabbi Meir. Shleishu kolbeinis inon, echad shekel shu noisin, one on account of the one that he's giving, which was not exact change. Ve'echad shekel shu noit, one on account of the fact that he got change in return. That's another service fee. Ve'echad dvar Torah, one to make up the difference in value, to make sure that it equals the true value, the machzor shekel shel Torah." Let's summarize this sugi. We discussed adding a kolbein, which is either a ma or chatzim ma, depending on Ramei or the Rabbanon. We seem to have two approaches to kolbein. Tanakama holds it's a chiluf, it's a transaction fee. According to Ramei, there are two reasons. Number one, transaction fee. Number two, zeyitnu. It has to conform to the value of the Torah's machzor shekel. We're concerned about impurities, or perhaps the fact that perhaps rubbed out. Rubbed out coin is not worth as much as a full coin, therefore we have to add the kolbein. Let's go through the cases. If you come with exact change, machzas shekel for yourself. According to Tanakama, there's no transaction fee. There's no kolbin. According to our mayor, you have to add a kolbin to make up for the impurities. If he brought a complete shekel on behalf of himself and his friend, Tanakama maintains his one kolbin, because there's a transaction taking place. It wasn't an exact change. And we apply the transaction rule here as well. Even though he's not getting back change, we apply the same rule as we do to every transaction involving a non-exact change, machzas shekel. Remeir holds there are two kulbonos. He doesn't hold a transaction fee in this case because there was no change received, and it's just a lump deal. He got a good deal. He made two machzas shekels and one coin. We don't assess a transaction fee. Rather, we have two kulbonos because him and his friend both need to add something to account for the lost value of the machzas shekel. Now we have a case where he brings a full shekel and gets a half in return as change. According to Rabbi Elazar, Tanakama holds, this is one service fee added here, one kolbein is added. According to Rabbi Meir, you need to add another kolbein as well. Aside from the service fee kolbein, you need to add a kolbein to make up for lost value for the impurities in his machzas shekel. Rav maintains he has a chiddush. According to Tanakama, there are two kolbeinos. We'll do two transactions that took place here. Number one, he gave a machzas shekel, which is not exact change, and need to be broken down to provide that for the hegdish. And number two, he also broke down the shekel so that he has change in return. So two separate things took place. Two kolbeinos are added, two service fees, according to our mayor. Atop these two, we have a third one, another kolbein to account for impurity. We learned that if a person gives his machzas shekel on behalf of a kohen, an isha, ever the katan, he's pater from kolbein, because the kohen is held in higher regard with machabin him, just like we don't take a mashkin from him, we don't obligate him to give a kolbein. An isha, ever the katan, because they're really pater from machzas shekel. If he gives a gift, machzas shekel for his friend, we also give him a discount, we don't assess the kolbein. Regarding brothers, achim ashutfin, who divided the Yerusha amongst them. So if they were chaylik the Yerusha, they split the assets amongst themselves. And now they joined together as partners, and they use that money for the machzas shekel. They're chayv and kolbein, because it's their own personal funds. Why should not be chayv? If they never divvied up the nechasim, it's still considered their father's asset, and they're part of them kolbein, because we treat it as though their father is treating them to machzas shekel. As we just said, if you give a matana to your friend, you're part of him kolbein. Now we're going to go into this topic of achan ashut. Continues the Gemara, achan vashut. Shechayovim kolbein. In a situation where the achan ashut are chayv and kolbein, upturim b'masa behema, and the part of b'masa behema. Well, when does that happen? What is the situation which obligates kolbein and exempts masa behema? Explains the Gemara. B'shecholku. First they divvied up the nechasim, the animals, the money, and then they rejoined together as partners. V'chazav nishtatfu. Which in this case, the money is considered partnership money. The animals are considered something which belongs to a shutfin. And shutfin are potter for masa behema. But, since it's their money, when they use it for machzas shekel, they're personally contributing. It's nobody doing it on account of somebody else. It's their own machzas shekel, nechayv and kolbein. But we have a flip case where shechayovin b'maser behema uptur b'na kolbein. But we have a case where the chayv b'maser behema and the potter from kolbein. What is that speaking about? B'shaloi chok. Well, they never divided the assets amongst themselves. They're still sinning with the way it was when the father passed away. Or in that case, it's considered part of the father's estate. There's no shutfus here. And therefore, if there are new animals born, they have to separate the masa behema. In that case, if they decided to use that money for the machzas shekel of the brothers, there's no kolbein added, because it's as though the father is giving machzas shekel on behalf of his sons. And we just learned, if you gift a machzas shekel to somebody else, there's no kolbein added. Omar Rabbi Lezer, this halacha that when the brothers split the assets and then rejoin together as partners, we consider them to be shutfin. We don't say, well, they're back to their old state. They reverted back to Tfusas Habayis. It's considered back their father's estate. No. Each one contributed his own personal assets to the partnership. It's considered a new entity, a new partnership. And therefore, they're pata famasa bema. When do we say that? Says Rabbi Lezer, that's only in a very specific case. Now, speaking of the father left behind some young goats, gdoyim, some more mature goats, tyoshim. Theoretically, we have two brothers. Each one deserves half of the younger ones, half of the older ones. Right? But what happened was that they decided to split it, not according to a variety, rather, he took all the gdoyim, and he took all the tyoshim. So they made a deal with each other, an exchange. Instead of me taking half the gdoyim and half the tyoshim, let me let you have all the tyoshim, and instead I'll take the other half of the gdoyim. In that case, as Rabbi Lezer, it assumes new status. This is not the original Yerusha. This is not the way it was meant to be. All the gdoyim were not designated for Reuven, all the tyoshim for Shimon. It was their personal deal. They have a right to do so, it's fine. But they have now broken up the Yerusha. It's no longer considered the original Yerusha as it was left over by their father. In this case, as a blesser, yeah. If they divvied it up in this manner and then they decided to rejoin together as partners, it's considered a new partnership. That's not considered to have been reverted back to its old state because it was already reconfigured. You know, it's like when you take a puzzle. So if it's a clean puzzle, you take two pieces, disassemble them, and then you reassemble it. It's back to square one, the way it was before. But in a case where you redesign those pieces, and then you go and you reattach them, it's a new puzzle. Likewise here, says Rabbi Lezer, Vehein, this halacha that when they rejoin together as partners, is considered a new partnership. It's not considered the old Yerusha. That's only Shechok Gdoyim Keneged Yoshim. They split in a manner where Reuven took Gdoyim in lieu of the Tyoshim that he let his brother take. So he took all the Gdoyim, or Tyoshim Keneged Gdoyim. And Shimon took all the Tyoshim, which corresponded, some of them corresponded to his Gdoyim, which he let his brother take. So he took all the Gdoyim, he took all the Tyoshim, they made a deal. They reconfigured the Chalokim of the Yerusha. And then they rejoined together. It's a new partnership. But suppose they split it perfectly based on variety, based on the types of assets here. He took 5 gdoyim, his brother took 5 gdoyim. He took 5 tyoshim, and his brother 5 tyoshim. In that case, they didn't disrupt the Yerusha. This is the way it was meant to be. Rabbi Lezer holds Yesh Breira. It can now be determined that this is what Hashem had in mind during the Misa Sava'av. This is what he inherited. This is what they were supposed to get. There was no exchange. There was no deal here. This was meant for him. This part was meant for him. In this case, of Rabbi Lezer, even if they divide it and then they rejoin together, it's as though they're back to square one. It resumes the status of Yerusha, and it's not considered a shutvus. It's considered like their father's assets, and it's chayv amasa beima. Hu chelkei mishar rishayna. This is his part from the first moment. This was designated and destined for him. They didn't rearrange things. He simply disassembled the puzzle cleanly. He took apart. Now they reassembled it. It's back to its original status. It's considered Yerusha, and not a shutvus, and therefore it's chayv amasa beima. Rabbi Lezer holds Yesh Breira. The part that he took was destined for him. The part that he took was destined for him. They didn't reconfigure anything. They simply took their part in the Yerusha, and then when they rejoined together, it's as though they went back to their father's. It's as though it's their father's estate again. And it's Chayiv Amasabim. Rabbi Yechon disagrees. He holds Ein Breira. Even if they split it evenly, he took half of this, and he took the other half. He took half of this, he took the other half of... It's considered a reconfiguration. You don't know that necessarily this was meant for you and that for him. You exchanged amongst yourself. You dealt amongst yourself as though you purchased one from the other. I let you have my part. Instead, I took your part. We made an exchange. And therefore, each one now acquires new assets. This is not considered the Yerusha. It's like he purchased it on the market. It's called the Lakuach. Even if he took goats corresponding to other one's goats, and they split some tiyashim neged the other tiyashim, so they split all types of the assets equally. They regard like purchasers, like they bought from each other. And even currently, it's pater from maser, because something which was bought is pater from maser behema. Kahu de tanina, as we went in the Mishnah, the tanin taman we learned over there. Halakuach, this is a Mishnah in Bechiris, something which was purchased, v'shenitin le'matana, or an animal was given b'matana, pater from maser behema. We learned this from Sukkim. If it was purchased or gifted, this animal is pater from maser behema. Says Rabbi Yechanan, ain't breira, just because they split it equally. Reuven took some gedoyim and Shimon did. Reuven took some tiyashim and so did Shimon. Inevitably, there was a reconfiguration, a rearrangement of assets. There was an exchange. He took mine, I took his. We don't know really this was meant for you and that for him. Therefore, it's all considered an exchange and bought and purchased and dealt. And therefore, even currently, the pata from maser behema. Certainly, if they rejoin together as partners, of course, it's called a new partnership. It doesn't revert back to the old status of Yerusha, of Tfisas Habayis, of father's estate. That's long gone. It's long been disrupted. So conclusion, Kodja Blezer, Yesh Brera. If they split it evenly down the middle, he takes part of the Gdoim, he takes part of the Gdoim, etc. That's considered destined for him, designated for him. And if they rejoin together, it's as though the Yerusha went back to its former status. It's not called the Shutfis and the Chayva Masa Behem. Rabbi Yechon is just the opposite. Even if they split it equally down the line, it's considered like a kucha, it's like they purchased from each other, and this animal even currently is part of a masa behema, as we learned in the Mishnah in Bechiris. So in summary, let's review today's daf. We learned about the concept of kolbein. We learned that the katan from bar mitzvah until 20 is chayav midrabana b'namin ha-Torah. A nachar cannot contribute, that's pashat. Machzor shekel is meant to fund the korbanos tzibur, in which he has no chelek. A kuti is a question, whether he's considered like a goy Yisrael. Rav Shimon Malkush says, a nachar can never contribute at all to building or maintaining of the Beis HaMikdash. Rabbi Yechon says, if it's just maintenance, it's not a davar mesuyim, something visible, that's okay. We discussed kolbein at length, and there were two reasons for kolbein, whether a transaction fee or kotor meir. There's another factor to account for impurities in the Machzor Shekel. We learned that brothers sometimes a chayv in maser behema, sometimes a potter, sometimes a chayv in kolbein, and sometimes a potter. And we concluded with the machlokes, whether we say yesh breira or ain't breira. Kol tov v'natzlacha rabba.